It's good to have opportunity to be back on the grass for the final time. Our guys have made the most of the opportunities awarded to us. They have to exceed and match that expectation. Our veteran players and even our young players are starting to buy in and understand what it takes.
Hello, welcome to Dog Pound Report alongside Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble. I'm Hakeem Dermish. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Same
we
to
are
you.
Looking to have a championship day. We're going to talk Game 7 coming up right now. It's summer break for the Browns. Team wrapped up minicamp in Berea 10 days ago. Final time the Browns were all in the field before training camp in late July. Here's head coach Hugh Jackson now on the progress his young team has made this offseason.
You have to lay the right foundation, and I think it's been laid. And then when I talk about our players, obviously I'm really excited about so many of our players and just the potential that's there. And I say potential because you don't know yet until, you know, you really play football, you know, what they can be and what they will be as a football team. But I know our guys are working hard to become the best team that we can. And I couldn't have asked for a better group or for a better opportunity for myself. And guys have done extremely well.
Andrew, what stood out to you as the Browns wrapped up a minicamp?
I just think the general vibe that started the moment that Hugh Jackson got in the building and then the excitement that you saw once the offseason workout program, it just built and built and built. I think you added in a lot of rookies midway through it, and they kind of meshed in seamlessly, and you saw a lot of camaraderie come together right away. And I think at OTAs, when we were out on the practice field, we just kept thinking, this feels like a training camp practice. And then it carried over to minicamp. All the veterans were in it. The rookies were in better shape. They got into it, and this just felt like a team coming together. I remember going downstairs after that last minicamp practice. Guys are still hanging out, playing ping pong with each other. It's just from the top down, that's the vibe that came off from this team.
It starts with Hugh Jackson. He's the leader of your team, and he sets the tone. And as you talked about, the energy, the enthusiasm. The fact is, a lot of these players told me, look, we're working 10 times harder than we were working a year ago, but we like it because we like the accountability. We like the demands. We like the way he's got us pumped up. And by the way, Hugh Jackson, you saw there, had the goatee. He's had a full beard. He's been clean shaven. So he's mixing it up, keeping it fresh. You got to like that.
Big question for Hugh Jackson. Who's going to be your quarterback? He made it clear there will be a competition quarterback during training camp to determine who starts week one against the Eagles. Here's Hugh on his stable of signal callers heading into training camp.
It's still a ways away in my mind, but I feel good about where we are, and I feel good about, you know, the process that we've been in for those guys. I'm being very honest with you guys. As I told you, I haven't come close to really letting my mind go there. I mean, I'm just trying to help our football team improve and that position improve as much as I can, you know, and I think that's what's really important, you know, as we start getting closer in training camp to getting ready to play, and as I've seen more things, and I'll go back and evaluate all of this, but I can assure you guys, I mean, there will be no, you know, earth-shattering announcement between now and training camp.
I don't know if it's going to be earth-shattering. I think we all kind of know. Nathan, I'm going to start with you. What do you think here about this quarterback competition being open?
RG3 is going to be the starter on opening day unless something crazy happens. And I think he's a guy that's made a lot of progress from day one coming in. It's all about getting the ball out quick, making his reads from the pocket. The athleticism is still there. The strong arm is still there. But he's gotten better at it. But you still have seen some plays where he's dropped back and didn't quite know where to go with football. So as they continue to iron that out, though, he's going to be the guy. And his last practice was probably his best of the year, which is a good sign going forward. McCown might be better suited to run this offense just from a schematic standpoint. But this is a team that's building for the future, and Josh McCown is not going to be a part of the future. RG3, if he plays well, certainly has the potential to do so.
And I think that's clear. When you heard some things coming out of these mini camps, that Josh McCown looked like the better quarterback, and I think there's reasons for that. I think, one, you know, he's been in the NFL for a lot longer than Robert Griffin III is. He's seen a lot of different offenses, can adjust quickly. And Josh McCown played a lot of football last year. Robert Griffin III was on the sidelines. So I think that this is part of building back up Robert Griffin III, building up his confidence, letting him kind of seize control of the offense and let him win the job. Let him go out there and show that he's the best quarterback on the field. That's why I never thought that there was going to be a verdict by the end of minicamp. They're going to let this go through training camp and then kind of get him to where he is confidently.
And he will win this job.
Yeah.
He's made a lot of very good plays that are unique to a guy like him. I'm not talking about with his legs. His arm talent is exceptional.
And hopefully we have a dynamic duo in Corey Coleman and RG3. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Taylor, let's go.
Even though they get to go their separate ways for a couple weeks, several players plan on getting together to work out with each other during their time off here. And speaking of Corey Coleman, here's what he had to say about working out with RG3 during their summer break.
Right. I'm going to be out there wherever Robert is. And I'm going to be out there working out with him, making sure that we come back and we're on point, that we haven't lost a beat. We get together in the morning a lot of the time. We go over the script, what we're going to be running for that day's practice. At nighttime, I have any questions, come to my room. He'd come to my room. We'd go over script for tomorrow. So he's always there if I need him. He's always available. He's going to help me. He's on me. He expects a lot out of me. I expect a lot out of him. So we can hold each other accountable.
Two Baylor products here. Andrew, let me start with you this time. What can Corey Coleman learn from RG3?
I think it's more so chemistry-based than learning from. I think Robert Griffin III jokes that a lot of people assume that they play together at Baylor. They did not cross paths. So they're going to get to know each other, get to know the skill sets that each of them have. It's just repetitions. You only get so many because of the CBA during these periods. You only get so many during training camp. Why not get extra on your own time and just kind of build the camaraderie on field and off field?
I love it. We have a guy that we drafted first in the draft. He's not worried about being on Swans. He's worried about going out there and getting better at what he does. And I think what he can learn from RG3 is about the pressure of being the first pick for your team, what that means, comes with the kind of the hype around it. I saw them in the cafe eating lunch together, and NFL Network had a thing talking about Corey Coleman. Best case scenario, worst case scenario. So I'm watching Corey Coleman watch somebody else talk about him. And RG3 was like, man, just ignore it. And Corey did. And I think this kid has been by far the most impressive just talent on the field throughout this early offseason process.
All right, well, we'd love to see those guys become a dynamic duo this
let's
season.
Go.
Hey, earlier this week, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell visiting the Browns facility to meet with the team's front office and tour the facility. Here's what the commissioner had to say.
Well, I love coming to clubs because it gives me a chance to see firsthand what's happening in that community, what's happening with the club. It gives me a better sense of things that we need to focus on. We're able to share our perspective from the league level as well as from seeing other clubs. And we're a collection of 32 clubs that make up this league. Our connection to our fans and our communities is through those clubs. And we want to make sure that we continue to improve, and that's the effort. I'm excited about the game and the quality of the game. I love the game. I think our game continues to get better. It becomes safer for our players every year because we've had 42 rule changes for the safety of our game. We have other rule changes to make the game more exciting. And that's what I see is the quality of our players, the quality of the game itself has become more competitive. That's going to be the opportunity for us to grow our game internationally. It's going to be the opportunity for us to grow our game on all these new media streams, and that content is going to be so impactful. And our fans will be able to engage with the game like they've never been able to do before. So I argue there's never been a better time to be an NFL fan right now.
Several rule changes this year. Here's a few notable changes. Extra points permanently moved back. Chop blocks eliminated. Touchbacks now come out to the 25. What do you guys make of these rule changes going into 2016?
I think the extra point was something we all expected. I think you'll see more and more teams go for two. Last year, the Steelers did it more than anybody. They converted well over 50%, actually about 70% of them. So the math says go for two more often. I think you see in the NBA, we'll talk about that later on, but the proliferation of the three-point shot, how much more valuable it is. I think we'll see more of them going for the two. And if I had been there and had the opportunity to talk to my man Raj, I would have said three words: free Josh Gordon, let's go.
The touchback.
Yes.
The touchback rule could be interesting to watch because I was covering college football when they introduced this kind of rule in college, and you couldn't trust the kickers to try to pin it back and force the team to return it. These kickers are a lot better than college kickers. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to have the ability to pin it in between the five and the goal line, force the teams to return it, and they won't be able to get it back to the 25-yard line. That's why I wonder what if this rule is going to get what they want out of it. I think you're still going to have a lot of contact on one of the most dangerous plays in the NFL.
All right, those are some of the rule changes. Still ahead on Dog Pound Report, we talked to a Bills insider about Buffalo's offseason, and then take a break from the Browns to talk about the Cavs championship charge. That's next on Dog Pound Report. Back here on Dog Pound Report, thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us. Akeem Dermish, Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gerber. I was going to do Andrew first, and then you're next to me. So anyway, time now to learn about the Browns' opponents this season, Buffalo Bills. We caught up with Bills insider Chris Brown, get a sense of where Buffalo is as a team. Here's what he had to say about the team coming out of OTAs.
Well, as far as OTAs for the Bills, really what stands out this time of year where it's not real football and not pads, obviously, being worn by the players, it's usually the skill positions that stand out. And I think with the receiver position being a little bit up in the air beyond the first two receivers in Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, There are some interesting battles developing there as far as jockeying for who's going to be the third, the fourth receiver. And then at the tight end position, I've been impressed with Blake Annan, a guy that joined the practice squad late last year, re-signed in the offseason, and is proving to be a pretty athletic player and probably most mirrors the skill set of Charles Clay. So if you want to back up in that role, Blake Annan is certainly making a good case for himself. On the defensive side, defensive back-wise, I would say sixth-round pick Kevon Seymour is showing well there. They moved him all the way up the depth chart to the starting unit with Stephon Gilmore not here during the voluntary OTAs. He has certainly shown very well.
Nathan, your thoughts on the Bills?
I like this team, but they're an interesting team because they have a lot of nice pieces, but they haven't really been able to put it all together. And I think it's going to come down to their defense being able to get back to the levels they were before Rex Ryan and company took over. And I did see Sammy Watkins was in town for game 6 for the Cavs and the Warriors in my section. I was like, how's the foot? He said, I'm great. Feels good. He looked good. So he's one of the more exciting young players in the league for sure.
All right, let's keep the conversation going. Here's what Chris Brown had to say about former Browns defensive coordinator Rob Ryan taking a job on his brother's staff with the Bills this offseason.
I think the main reason Rob Ryan is here is to afford Rex Ryan the opportunity to take more of a big picture approach to his football team as head coach. He really didn't have the opportunity to do that as he was trying to implement this defense with defensive coordinator Dennis Thurman. But coming into 2016, it was clear that Rex wanted an overseer to just handle the defense with Dennis Thurman, someone who he felt he could trust, someone who he felt knew this defense backwards and forwards. That proved to be his brother, who was available after he was let go by the Saints. And so I think this just gives Rex peace of mind to let him just be the head coach and let defensive coaches handle everything else on that side of the ball.
Andrew, how do you see this working out?
You know, I think it was a necessary move, and I think it is to be determined, because I think that the problem with the Bills maybe on defense last year was, you know, before Rex got there, they were a really good defensive team.
Yeah.
He comes in and they're starting to change some things. You wonder about buy-in. You got a lot of good veterans that are like, hey, what worked last year was pretty good, and now this isn't working so well. But I think the addition of Reggie Ragland, he's going to be a great player in that, in the middle of that defense. You don't get Shaq Lawson, which you would like to have, their first-round pick. He's probably out for most of the season, if not all of it. So it's to be determined, but this was maybe the more disappointing aspect of the Bills last year and why they weren't a playoff team.
Bills went 8-8 last season, so what are the expectations for the Bills heading into training camp?
Well, I think going into training camp, again, Tyrod Taylor, the unquestioned starter at quarterback, is going to put this offense ahead of itself from the get-go with a guy taking all the snaps there, setting up chemistry on the field with his receiving core, and really kind of getting that whole offense in sync. I think this is going to be an offensive training camp that's going to be more about refining things on that side of the ball than it is about implementing stuff, installing things, which was the case last year, year one in this offense under Greg Roman. On the defensive side of the ball, I think they anticipate being decidedly better after a very disappointing year last year when I think by all accounts they underachieved. There is no question at all that there is a chip on the collective shoulder of this defensive unit. I think they were embarrassed by what they put on the field last year, and they certainly want to make good on that here in 2016.
Buffalo Bills have missed the playoffs 16 consecutive seasons, longest current playoff drought in the NFL. Hall of Famer Jim Kelly said he thinks Rex Ryan probably looking for a job if they don't make the playoffs this upcoming season. Your reaction to that?
They'll be looking for a job, so will Rob, Ryan, because you look at that division, I think you can make the case that Miami's improved.
Yep.
The Jets, I think they'll figure it out with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They were on the precipice, and the Patriots are the gold standard in the National Football League. I think it's going to be tough for this Bills team to find a way into the playoffs in the AFC this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it starts with that division, and I just wonder, are you going to get as much out of that offense as you did last year? I think they overachieved on offense relative to how they underachieved on defense. The Sammy Watkins injury, if he's not ready to go, that's going to really hurt them on offense.
Browns and Bills matchup week 15 in Buffalo. All right, got to take a quick break here on Dog Pound Report.
Summer vacation, that'll be warm.
We'll take a break from the Browns, talk about the Cavs. We're breaking down Game 7 next.
What's going on, Cavs? It's Joe Hayden, cornerback from the Cleveland Browns. Just want to let y'all know, man, y'all got my support for Game 7. Y'all got the city support. Y'all got the Browns support, man. This would be big. Definitely everybody believes we all in 2016, man. Y'all just bring this ship to Cleveland. It'll be epic. Y'all got this.
Let's go, Cavs. Let's go, Cavs. Let's go.
Joe Hayden all in. Yes, back here on Dog Pound Report. Hakeem Dermish, Andrew Gribble, Nathan Zagura here with you. Browns are all in. Game 7 tonight. I predict the Cavs will win in 7 games here. What are you guys feeling right now?
The Cavs are winning. I said it all week. I said they're going to win Game 6, and it's going to go back. All the pressure is now on the Warriors because that 73-win season, the historical season, all on the line. Nobody cares. Doesn't mean anything if they don't win this game. And Steph Curry, I call him Stinks Curry. I don't think he's helped their team at all. Even last game, what did he have, 30 points? 8 of 20 from the floor, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 turnovers. His floor game is non-existent. He's become a shooter. And quite frankly, LeBron James is the best player in the world, and he's playing like it and helping his team in every single facet of the game, not to mention the modern-day Mamba, Kyrie Irving.
LeBron's the difference here. I mean, look, you look at the numbers last year, they're the same numbers, but he was just not as good. I mean, he was out of gas by the end of the playoffs, had zero help around him, no Kyrie, no one else to take the scoring load off his shoulders. What he's doing is impacting the game on both ends of the floor. I don't think he was able to play as good a defense last year as he was this year. He's been a rim protector. He's getting out on fast breaks. He's doing everything. And I just think the Cavs are going to have a performance out of Kevin Love, someone like that, to step up and help him out tonight.
Going off what Andrew said, what do you think has to happen for Cleveland to win tonight?
They just got to continue to do what they've been doing. What I mean by that, good defense, make those threes tough for Steph Curry. Stay on Klay Thompson. He's the one guy that scares me. And listen, you're going to live and die with Harrison Barnes. In the last two games, he's been terrible.
Yeah.
You hope that happens 3 in a row. On offense, just take care of the ball. Take smart shots. At the end of the day, I think that this team, especially with Iguodala a little bit hobbled, is now the better defensive team, talking about the Cavaliers, than the Warriors. They just need to take care of the basketball. And Stinks Curry, he's going to melt. Stinks, he's going to wilt under the pressure.
I know I mentioned Kevin Love earlier, but I think the key third guy here tonight is Tristan Thompson, because the game he had in Game 6 was probably the best of his entire career. Changed everything on both offense and defense. If LeBron has a guy he can go to in the paint outside of his outside of himself, that changes everything on offense for the Cavs.
All right, LeBron James and Tristan Thompson, they're pals. And LeBron is not only the leader of his team, he's the leader among all players in terms of numbers in the 2016 NBA Finals. Ranks first in points, assists, blocks, and steals. And he's tied for first in rebounds with Tristan Thompson. You spoke about LeBron a little bit. What have you seen out of LeBron specifically in these finals that say we are watching something historic here in these finals?
All right, he's got to do it one more game. But for me, my biggest issue that I had with LeBron, who is great, is that he didn't seem to have that Michael Jordan killer instinct. I'm going to step on your throat, the ultra competitive. There are too many times I thought he'd be passive. He is not being passive at all. And when he does that, he can absolutely dominate a basketball game. I think Draymond being a moron, getting himself suspended, was the best thing that could happen, because all of a sudden you win that game at home, you come back home here, you win their game in their home court, I'm sorry, Golden State, come back here, you win. The pressure has shifted now.
Yep.
LeBron senses it. Curry, you can tell he's a little bit scared. He's a little bit nervous, and he should be. He's soft. LeBron is playing like a man and is doing everything he can. The only thing that concerns me is that Game 6, when everything went right, we still played that same ISO offense that when it doesn't work and you're not shooting a high percentage, Game 5, Game 6 we did.
Right.
Game 4, we didn't shoot a high percentage on it. We lose. So LeBron, though, needs to continue to and be physical on the block, which he's doing, creating for other people, shooting when he needs to. And if he makes a jumper, it's over. I hope he just spends the offseason shooting jumpers, because if he shoots a jumper, he's unstoppable.
See, you went big picture. I'm going to focus on the small picture. It is the jump shot. I think that's changed everything for the Cavs offense. They have to guard against him. Earlier in the series, they were giving him 10, 15 feet. Now they can't do that anymore. And I think that opens up everything for both him and the rest of the Cavs offense. And it just, this is Miami Heat LeBron that we've seen in these finals. And I think that's what's going to carry the Cavs to a game.
If I'm the Warriors, though, I stake with that. If you're going to stand out there and you're going to make threes and you're going to make 20 footers, LeBron, you're going to win. Congratulations. You're the best player in the world.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
Steph Curry said there's no doubt in their minds. I think there's some doubt. A friendly reminder, News Channel 5, your home for the NBA Finals. Tip off tonight, 8 Eastern, here on News Channel 5. Coming up, one of my favorite segments of the show. We'll answer your Twitter questions, plus take a peek at the training camp schedule. That's next on Dog Pound Reporter. First here, Danny Shelton rooting on the Cavs.
Well, y'all, just want to say congrats, man. Y'all been killing out there. You can see it. Everybody sees it. You know, you got the support of Cleveland, the Browns, Dog Pound, the Indians. Everybody's watching, man. Everybody's supporting y'all. Coming out ready. Finish this game strong. Be in the championship home. We all in. Go Cavs. Believe land. Let's do it.
Back here on Dog Pound Report, Browns releasing its training camp schedule this week. Camp set to open Friday, July 29th from 3 p.m. to 5:30. All evening practices this year. Orange and Brown scrimmage returning to Columbus and Ohio Stadium this season. Tickets for the scrimmage on sale June 23rd. Tickets for all other camp practices on sale Friday, July 14th. All right, we've got time for one Twitter question. Comes to us from Man Among Gods. Great Twitter handle there. I hear that Terrell Pryor is looking good. Good compared to where he was last year, or good compared to other NFL wide receivers? You say what?
I say both. The answer to that is yes. He looks phenomenal compared to where he was last year. Probably the most improved player on the Browns roster and looks legit. Now, let me caveat that.
Okay.
We won't know until the pads come on.
It's true.
Because last year, he looked good in some of our practices. Then I remember we went up to Rochester and the Buffalo Bills players who had no interest or ties to Terrell Pryor abused him. So I want to see what he does when the pads come on. But in terms of a guy who looks like a receiver, not a quarterback trying to play receiver, Terrell Pryor looks good and is someone you can envision actually making plays this year.
And I think that I'll build off that. The key to him is the energy and the dedication he has to the position. He is working as hard as anyone is at any of their positions right now. And I think that's the good thing with him, because he's a 28, 29-year-old guy that's played a different position. He wants this really well.
And we're this from the receiver coach.
Yeah.
He's talking to them every single night, going over film. So he's doing everything in his power to capitalize on his rare gifts to become a good receiver in the NFL.
Well, we're all rooting for him to make an impact on his team. We're all rooting for the Cavs. Use the hashtag AskDPR. Maybe next time your question, make it on the show. That'll do it for this edition of Dog Pound Report. For Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble, I'm Hakeem Dermish. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. Also coming up, Championship Charge pregame special, 5:30. That's going to do it for us. See ya. Go Cavs.
Happy 5th day. You're going down, Stinks Curry.